soon fall. Lay my head on the hood of your car, I'll take it too far. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. I never thought about love when I thought about home. I still owe money to the money, to the money I owe. The floors are falling out from everybody I know. I'm on a glove bus. Yes, I am. I'm on a glove bus. I'm on a glove bus. God, I am. I'm on a to Ohio in a swarm of bees. I never married, but Ohio don't remember me. I still owe money.
Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers. It's good to have you, also known as Dr. Career. This is CITR. We are 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at citr.ca. Great site. Check it out if you haven't already done so. Of course, you know you can listen to the podcasted shows of many of the previous Career Fast Track shows. Going back a couple of years, we've been on the show here. There is a special time once in a while here at the show where we actually learn or make changes, structural changes to the course and the direction of the show. And last week I announced a new direction of the show, and the focus is on young professionals and career changers to follow their childhood aspirations. Today on the show we have a very special guest who's a perfect fit for the idea around following childhood aspirations. Vince Gelman's a certified coach. He also runs Remembering to Play. We're going to talk about play and how it relates to your career. Vince, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Vince, remembering to play, why is it important?
Wow, so many reasons. So when we remember to play, we reconnect to the wisdom of a child's mindset. So play actually invites us to reclaim the imagination and spontaneity and out-of-the-box, wide-eyed, possibility-ed viewpoints that we could have as a child. And it allows us to explore things uninhibited by the mindset that we have gotten over time through social conditioning. So we're much more willing to say yes to life when we have a child's mindset. As we get older, we are more inclined to say, yeah, but how are we going to do this? And we're often limited by fear and the need for things to be realistic and practical. And so we hold ourselves back a lot of the times as we get older.
I would agree with holding ourselves back. Vince, we talked to you a couple of weeks ago about intuition. What is the difference? Let's differentiate it for our listeners, our loyal listeners who listen to the show about intuition. So we use intuition, we discuss intuition, how it can help people make career decisions. Now we're talking about play. Now I imagine, in order to play, I have to relax, chill out, slow down, not think so much. So what is the difference, so let's differentiate this show, between play and intuition?
Well, play is actually play, in my opinion, is a state of being. So when we think of play, we often think of doing something. For instance, we think of playing badminton or doing like a board game. So we think of some sort of action that we participate in. And play is actually a state of being. It's a way of, it's a mindset. So, for instance, we don't say, I do playful. We say, I am playful. We don't say, I do imagination. We say, I am imaginative. So play, on a very primary level, is a state of being in the same way that we are human beings, first and foremost. We are not human doings. We're human beings that do. And when we connect to a play state, I often call it a play state, meaning a state of connecting to imagination and spontaneity and aliveness and joy, we access our intuition. We're much more open and connected to our intuition. So in the same way that remembering to play returns us to being childlike, you know, intuition is also there in that childlike state. So when we are children, we are much more connected to our intuition, and the adult mindset got in the way of it. So I think the relationship between play and intuition is very, very close, because when we become playful, we're much more inclined to access creative ideas because we're more relaxed, more open, and more spontaneous.
Vince, I have two questions here. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Vince Gauman. He's a certified coach, and he runs rememberingtoplay.com, crex.com, right?
Yeah.
.com. What is the benefit of remembering to play?
Well, the benefit is that we're more willing to... Well, let's see, where should I begin? So many. I think on a fundamental level, we can first talk about health. So when we're playful, we're more inclined to hold ourselves lightly. Therefore, we're less likely to work as hard, push as hard, and therefore, we're less likely to get stressed about things. When we play, also, we are more likely to laugh, and laughter has proven physiological benefits such as boosted immune system and better brain functioning, lower blood pressure. So there's some significant health benefits to being in a playful mindset. You know, when we enjoy ourselves, we just feel better. So now play also, like I said, opens you up to your creativity as well. So I want you to imagine for a second that you are someone that works for me. I'm your supervisor. And I said to you, Philippe, okay, Philippe, I want you to work on this project. Now imagine I also said to you, Philippe, I want you to play with this project. What would be the difference in impact between those two statements?
I'd be much more creative. I would risk more. Those are the first two things that come to mind.
Right. You're more willing to risk. You're more willing to scribble outside the lines, try something new. And then we're more willing to get rid of words like, I should do it this way. If I said for you to work on this, you're more likely to say things like, oh, I need to do it this way. I have to do it right. I should do it this way. So when we play, we're less burdened by those words. And the thing that all those words have in common, should, have to, must, is that there's just one way of doing things, and therefore we're not really at choice. And if we're not really at choice, then we cannot really access our creativity and put our heart and soul into whatever project we're trying to accomplish.
You know, when we get older as adults, we're told to grow up, and so we do. So what is the difference between play as a child and play as an adult?
You know, I think the difference let's look on the level of doing. We just do different things. So, you know, an adult may find a lot more play in reading a book. That may be a playful experience for them to read a book, whereas a child would rather go run outside.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, that I see that. So it's still play, but it's just your definition of play.
It's just your, I think it's your definition of play. But you know what? On a very essential level, like the being side that I talked about, I don't think there's that much difference. Because the being side of play, to me, is a connection to life. It's a feeling of wonder, a feeling of joy and aliveness. It's a feeling when you wake up in the morning as a kid on a sunny Saturday morning, and you look out your window, and suddenly you just feel alive. You can't wait to get outside. And because you just feel so connected to everything around you, there's like a warmth that fills your chest. There's a warmth that fills your spirit. A joy and unboundedness. That's play. And, you know, I don't think that as adults, I don't think that makes us different than children. I think we have that same underlying connection. I think the difference is that we've lost touch with it. And then again, on the doing level, we have different ways of expressing it. So again, adults may want to do gardening, and a child may want to flip over rocks and see what's underneath them.
You know, let's a bit of devil's advocate. I can see that if I were to, and if our listeners were to apply more play in their life, that they would be potentially more fulfilled and more happy in the functions that they're doing. But I have to admit, Vince, that I'm a bit skeptical about your ability to succeed and to play. What's your thought on that?
Succeed at what?
Well, I see a difference between success and fulfillment. So, for example, success is humans' desire, men and women's desire to maybe make something better or to challenge themselves or to improve something or strive for excellence, like an athlete might want to strive for excellence. Fulfillment is being happy with what you have, accepting where you're at, having faith. So I guess on the achievement side of things, how does play, does it work?
Well, what you're pointing at is fulfillment. Again, what I'm hearing is a state of being. And when I talk about a state of being, it's present moment. It's now. However, if you say I need to do something to experience play, then play is always dependent on it's something that's out there. So I cannot experience play until I'm playing badminton. So what I'm saying is play is a present moment experience, and it's a way, it's a mindset, it's a feeling of connection. So in terms of tying that into what you just said, fulfillment to me is that state of being, that state of feeling alive. And success, based on what I heard you say, is achievement-oriented. It's in the future.
Yep.
It's down the road. So where we get stuck, certainly, is when our fulfillment is dependent on a future result.
Interesting.
And then we end up being like that monkey who's always reaching for the next branch, and we never actually get to where we want to go.
So
nothing's ever enough.
This is an interesting point. I want to keep talking about it. The idea of, I just realized we have to take a break, but during the break, if we can think about this and if our audience can think about this, we have to set, well, not have to, but goals are valuable in my experience in life. They bring focus to the human mind and energy, and also I've noticed to the universe. And yet you talk about play being a way of being in the present. So I just want to differentiate the two or see how the two fit into our lives so we can talk about that after. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Okay. So, folks, you're listening to Career Fast Track 101.9 FM in Vancouver. CITR.ca is the website. We're here with Vince Galman. He's a certified coach, also runs rememberingtoplay.com. We're going to take a break on a return. We're going to talk about what we just discussed here and continue on. Thanks for joining us. Don't go anywhere. During the break, I want you to specifically think yourself of where you're at in your life and how play could potentially add value to your life. And hold back your judgment. If you have judgment around play, consider whether you're an engineer, a lifeguard, or a race car driver, that play can add value to your life. Back in just a moment.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
Looking to take your career to the next level? Then get ready. Here comes Dr. Career on CITR, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or online at citr.ca. He will inform, inspire, and give you practical steps to successfully land your next dream job.
Welcome back to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe Durocher, also known as Dr. Career. We're here with Vince Galman. Vince, playing is about being in the moment. However, we also set goals. How can we play? Maybe this is my question. How do I put play into my future goals?
Well, a goal, a question that's really simple is, what brings me joy? What can I do that feels like fun? And making sure that we are setting goals that are in line with our values. Mm-hmm. So if we're clear on what our values are, and our values could be, for instance, caring, it could be connection, it could be adventure. So there's a couple of core values. So if we ask, and those are all states of being, again, so I am adventurous, I am caring. So those are all states of being. So what are our core values? And then setting goals around that. So, maybe because you have a sense of adventure, one of your goals is that you want to make sure that twice a month you take a day trip somewhere. So it's really just being clear on what your core values are and then designing your life around them.
Yeah, I see how goals can often be miswritten in that they're focused only on achievement and maybe comparing, I'll make this much money because it's a certain number that sounds good, or I'll get this degree because that's what I should be getting. I think a lot of people, and I hope this is an important message, Vince, is to pass on to our listeners that if they're not writing goals, number one, start. Number two, before writing your goals, draft your values or think about what you value, what's important to you. It's not easy, but I think it's good to do.
I think of a lot of goal setting and a lot of need to achieve comes from fear. It comes from a need to either fill some void. It comes from perhaps an idea that you need to achieve in order to feel good about yourself. Maybe you have a core belief that you're not good enough if you don't succeed. Maybe you're comparing yourself to other people and therefore you have to keep up with them. So we have to really be careful about where is the goal coming from? Is it coming from a place of fear, a place of lack? Or is it coming from a place of real, authentic awareness of who I am, what brings me joy, what my core values are?
Yeah, that sounds like, to me, the definition of freedom. I think a lot of it's easy to actually say to yourself, very true around the goal setting and why we're writing the certain goal. It's easy to get caught into that area. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, and I can speak for myself, I think it's important to recognize that why we set goals is it's for us. It's not to compare ourselves to someone else. I find that very, very interesting.
Well, I speak on behalf of myself, and that, for instance, I was very ambitious, and so much of my ambition came from a need to prove myself. And it was because on some level I didn't feel like I was good enough. So it's a very core belief that many people have, is not feeling enough.
And I will say that not feeling enough and that fear is actually quite an effective strategy to be to succeed and to achieve maybe financially or from a career perspective. That definitely I've noticed. However, it's a recipe for disaster for a sense of fulfillment or joy from life. It's because you're not driving your own life. That's one thing I've noticed. Have you seen that, or what's your experience with that?
Well, yeah, you're not driving your own life. So, again, who's the I that's driving it? It's like the fear is driving it. Mm. And like I said, it's like you become that monkey, always reaching for the next branch, and really the liberating place is where I can just sort of let go of one branch without reaching for the other. And so now what we're talking about is, how do we create life from a place of downstream? There's a quote by Abraham Hicks, and he says that nothing that you want is upstream, which is a very powerful statement. Nothing that you want is upstream. So if we're working hard and pushing hard to get something, it actually is not what we really want. It's what we think we want. So there's a place of surrender where we can actually create more in alignment with the natural currents and rhythms of life, where life begins to work for us. And we move in this flow where we align ourselves with amazing synchronicities and we just feel like we're in a rhythm, and things just start popping up for us. And now we are in a real place of co-creating with the intelligence of life. And that is a really good definition of play. When we're doing that, it's like almost like we're playing with life. We're in this dance with life, and life is our dance partner.
I love the sound of this, Vince. Can you give us an example?
Yeah. For me personally, when I was building my practice, my coaching practice, I struggled for many, many years. And I tried, but my what I thought I wanted to do was to do one-on-one life coaching and do workshops, these general public workshops on many different topics, such as communication these other topics at community centers. I had a very limited view of what I wanted, and I tried really hard to make it go, but it didn't. And one day I just finally gave up. I just finally quit. I said, you know what, I surrender. I can't do this anymore. And the moment I surrendered, I had this dream. I went to bed one night and I had this dream. And in the dream, these two lovely ladies came up to me and told me to offer this Remembering to Play workshop that was in the back of my mind to doctors and nurses. And I woke up the next morning and was like, wow, that was felt like real clear guidance in a dream. And I acted on it. And all of a sudden, all these pieces started showing up. I went to the store and told this woman about the dream. And she said, oh, you should offer this to my friend who works for the Ministry of Social Services. And in that exact moment, that woman walked right into the store. And all these people started showing up, and it just flowed and expanded. And within like 8 months, I had this whole new business. And so, but what was happening was I was pushing hard on the old business, and it wasn't working. So if you're up against resistance, if you're up against, trying to make something happen and it's not happening, a really good decision is to surrender. I remember just one other quick story. I was waiting for months to hear from these two business contacts, and I thought for sure they were going to phone me because I felt like they were interested in my business, and I was really keen on them, really keen on connecting with them. For months, I didn't hear from them, and I was always checking my email, hoping they'd call. And one day, I just said, okay, forget it. I'm just not going to check my email. I'm going to leave my cell phone at home. I'm going to go out and lay down in the park. Then I came home that day, opened up my inbox, and then both of them were there. So there's power in letting go, in surrendering, and not pushing as hard as we think we need to.
So someone out there is listening to you saying, I want that. So how does a person surrender?
Well, you know, it's a balance, you see. I'm also not saying that you sit on your couch and you do nothing either. So what I would say is be clear on what you want. Make sure that it's coming from a place of joy and alignment with your values, and put it out there. do what you need to do to put it out there, you know, whether it's build a website or tell people about your service if you're trying to build a business, or if you're wanting to get a job, you put your resumes out there. The key, though, is to not force it, not push it too hard, but rather just simply put it out there, plant a seed. Basically, like gardening, you plant a seed. Or another good metaphor I like is you give your order to the kitchen when you're in a restaurant. You give your order to the waitress. She gives it to the kitchen. But you don't sit there waiting at the table thinking, oh, my God, I hope they got the order to the kitchen. Why isn't the order coming? Blah, blah, blah. You simply let it go. You let the kitchen take care of it, and then the food comes back to you. So it's a balance of putting things out there, but not holding on to it too tightly.
I like that. I heard four steps here. So be clear on what you want, so your values. Mm-hmm. Set your goals or what it is you want based on those values. Then tell people what you want based on those values. And then don't be, too attached to it, or don't force it.
That's right.
Interesting.
And that's where the play comes in, because play,
interesting,
again, as a mindset, is allows us to hold things lightly. You know, children don't generally hold things really heavy in the same way adults do. They hold things so lightly that they actually, you know, you could look at it from a very an emotional standpoint. A child will be crying with anger 1 second, and then 2 seconds later he's laughing. So they're very good at holding things lightly. They're very good at moving on. Mm-hmm. You know, one day they want to be a fireman, and the next day they want to be an astronaut.
Yeah, I see that. How it's funny, when you were talking, I was thinking about this. I went to this conference, and it was all professors, and you know, watching them dance was more than painful. And it, as the night wore on, they got better dancers in that they learned, they got more in touch with their play. And I think, intellectually, we can always try to rationalize things, or till the point where we figure it out. But sometimes you can't figure it out. You just have to not force it, accept it, surrender, and play. But being clear why you're going for what you want, because it's based on your values.
Yeah, okay. Again, it's where is the energy coming from? Is it coming from that joyful place or that fear place? Very important to be clear on that. That's not easy always to do, is to differentiate between the two. But, you know, one thing, you know, whenever I lead my workshops, one of the core objectives I say, I want you to feel good. If you feel good, if you feel light, if you feel happy when thinking about the goals that you're setting, there's a good chance that it's coming from that joy place.
Vince, we have about a minute left here. I just wanted to get your last thoughts on this notion that as we are going to, well, after the end of the show, I'd like to have a next step for our audience. So what is one thing they can do to start adding more play in their life right now?
Well, a really simple step is to ask yourself some questions. So a very good question to ask yourself is, what brings me joy? What brings me joy? Or another one is, when do I feel most alive? When do I feel most free? When do I feel most natural? Those are good questions. Joy, freedom, alive.